Big Sister, the story of Ruth Wayne and her problems as a woman, as well as a nurse, a wife, and a mother. Today's episode in just a moment after this message from our sponsor. It's about 10:30 in the morning on Founders Day in Glen Falls. And the town is quiet with a holiday quiet that is different from a Sunday quiet. For under the silence, there's a stir of excitement as people begin preparing in different ways to celebrate. Reed Bannister dropped by at Ruth Wayne's about an hour ago, picked up her young son Richard, and took him with him while he made a call. He told himself he was doing it so that Ruth could sleep just a little later. But perhaps he was doing it for other reasons, too. They're on their way home now, driving through the shaded streets. And Reed is saying,
"Awful lot of flags out today, Richard. Have you noticed? Practically every house we've passed."
"Oh, yeah. Looks awfully pretty. I put ours up first thing this morning."
"I know. I saw it."
"Someday I'd like to have a real big flagpole, like the one on the square, right out on the lawn. Dr. Bannister?"
"Yes, Richard?"
"Do you remember things about when you were a boy, my age?"
"Well, of course. Why?"
"I don't know. Because I keep trying to remember things now. Special things I pick out, so that I'll be able to tell my kid about when I grow up. But sometimes it gets a little mixed up. I actually saw, remember myself, and what I just heard about."
"I know. It does get a little mixed up sometimes."
"For instance, like today, the Founders Day. It wasn't always the way it is now, the way we celebrate now. Was it?"
"No, Richard. It was very different when I was your age."
"Different? How? Do you remember, Dr. Bannister?"
"Yes, indeed, I remember. Saving money for weeks before, buying firecrackers, salutes, rockets, sparklers, just like for the 4th of July. Getting up early in the morning to shoot them off, but saving some for the evening when you could see the flashes. Then the parades and the speeches, the big fireworks show."
"We still have them, the parades and speeches, but not the fireworks. But even they're different, I think. The things that are the same. Why, Dr. Bannister? Do you know?"
"Well, I think so, Richard. I'm not sure, but everything's different now, the whole world, from what it was when I was a boy. We were just one country then, America, in a very big world. That's what all the speeches were about, America. How we became free and how we were always going to stay free. But now it's not such a big world anymore. It's a very small one, just a few hours by plane from anywhere to anywhere else. And we've also discovered that we can't think in terms of just one country any longer, our own."
"Yeah. You going to the parade, Dr. Bannister?"
"Well, yes, Richard, I think so. Almost went past your house."
"There's Mother. Hello, Mom."
"Hello, Richard. Hello, Reed. How about coming in and having brunch with us?"
"Well, I don't know, Ruth.
Ah, come on, Dr. Bannister. Please. It'll be fun."
"All right, Richard. Then maybe I will."
"Another cup of coffee, Reed?"
"Thanks, no, Ruth. I couldn't manage another thing."
"Me either. Gee, it was swell, though. Wonderful pancakes."
"Thank you, Richard."
"Could I be excused now and go outside?"
"Oh, I think so."
"Is that all right?"
"Well, yes, Richard. We'll see you in a little while."
"Swell. So long."
"Oh, my, I wish I could move as fast as that on a full stomach." "Mind if I smoke, Ruth?"
"Oh, no, of course not. I still haven't thanked you for taking him with you this morning."
"Nothing to thank me for. I enjoyed it. Did you get a chance to rest?"
"For a while. And to do a lot of things around the house I haven't been able to do since I got back from New York."
"Good."
"Reed, how did he seem when he was with you?"
"Richard? Well, fine, Ruth. Why?"
"Well, I don't know. I've been a little worried about him. How he's taking all this. John's being away. I've spent all the time with him I possibly could, but I wonder if that's enough."
"But why, Ruth? Has he said anything?"
"No. That's just it. He hasn't. He hasn't even mentioned John's name since the night I got back from New York."
"Oh, I see.
Did he say anything about him to you while he was out with you this morning?
No, not directly, but there was something.
What, Reed?
Well, he asked me if I could remember things that had happened when I was a boy his age. He said that he was trying to remember things that were happening now so that he could tell his sons about them when he grew up. And it seems to me, you know, it was probably an attempt to establish some sort of continuity in his life, make himself feel that he was part of something that existed before he was born and that would continue to exist afterwards.
Because he felt that the continuity had been broken, that something was missing. Destroyed.
Possibly.
I'm sure of it. The lack of security, fear, shows itself in different ways. In Richard's case, he's trying to compensate for it himself. Promise himself that what happened between his father and him won't happen as far as he and his children are concerned. It's incredible. And it's frightening.
The things that go on in their heads?
The things that they just seem to know, to sense, when no one's ever put them into words. Not just Richard, all children. A feeling of hostility between parents, even though they try and cover it up when the child is around. Somehow the child always knows it and reacts to it. It can show itself in any number of strange ways, and it may not show itself for years. But it's always there.
I don't think you have to worry too much about Richard. He seems to be making the adjustment himself, if it's going to be a permanent one.
How can anyone ever make the adjustment by himself, Reed? Especially a child. I'm going to have to be very careful from now on. Continue to spend all the time I possibly can with him. And try and give him everything that he would normally get from both a mother and a father.
Do you have to do it all by yourself? Isn't there anyone who can help you?
What do you mean, Reed? Who?
I don't know, Ruth. I just... Never mind.
The story of Big Sister will continue after this message from our sponsor. Let's go to New York now, to the one-room apartment on Washington Square where John Wayne is just opening the door.
Good morning, John. May I come in?
Why, Diane?
Because I'd like to. Because I haven't really seen anyone, talked to anyone in days.
Well, I don't suppose I... All right, Diane, come in.
Thanks. Had breakfast yet?
No.
Neither have I. Couldn't we have it together? There are a couple of outdoor cafes just up from the square.
Oh, I don't think so, Diane. I don't feel very much like it. I'm not hungry.
Oh. Well, all right. Maybe you will be later.
I doubt it. Diane, you've been in touch with anyone in Glen Falls since you came here?
No. Why should I? Who, for instance?
Dr. Carvel. After all, you are fairly close to him. He called here yesterday.
Dad? What did he want?
He wanted to know if I'd seen you, how you were, where you were staying.
What did you say?
Well, I told him I'd seen you once, but that if I saw you again, I'd tell you to call him.
Oh. I suppose I should call him one of these days.
Where are you staying, by the way?
At Riverside Hospital.
Riverside Hospital?
Yes. I couldn't seem to find a room, and I needed a job anyway, so I went there. Huh. They were short of trained personnel, and now I'm working there, living there.
Well, that's fine, Diane. That's well.
Helps fill up the time, working.
Mm.
Are you sure you won't change your mind and come out and have breakfast with me?
No, I don't think so, Diane. I just don't feel like it.
I'm sorry, John. I know I shouldn't keep after you, but, well, somehow I feel more restless and jittery than usual today.
Why?
I don't know. Yes, I do. It's the city. Being here now, it seems filled with people who have no place to go. You can see it in their faces. They know that they're the ones who are unloved, unwanted, and they resent it.
Hmm. Unloved and unwanted. Rather fitting that the two of us should be here, then.
But does it have to be, John?
What do you mean?
Do we always have to be shoved around, put into pigeonholes, filed in the dead letter office? After all, there are two of us, both in the same boat. Can't we fight against it? Make our own kind of life in spite of the rest of the world?
Fighting? I'm tired of fighting, Diane. For what?
Oh, I'm not asking for your love, John. Not now. And I'm not asking for anything for myself. It's for both of us. Just to show them that they can't go on doing this to us. That we don't need them, need anyone. Because we've got ourselves and each other.
Show them that we, the dispossessed, the pariah, show them that we're still people. Oh, I don't know, Diane. I don't... All right. We will show them. Come on.
Where are we going?
I don't know. Out somewhere, anywhere. We'll show them.
And so, out of loneliness, John Wayne makes his first gesture towards Diane. A gesture that will be only the first of many, and that will lead to a disastrous climax. Now a message from our sponsor. Join us tomorrow on Big Sister. Lee Stevens speaking. Big Sister is a production of Nana Radio.